China kicked off its 19th National Congress earlier today. It could include significant turnover on the nation's Central Committee, with a number of new members reaching as high as 70%. The Congress is also seen as another opportunity for Chinese President Xi Jinping to strengthen his already broad powers. With me to talk about what the Congress entails and what some significant developments could be is Clayton Duby, director of the U.S.-China Institute at USC. Clayton, what could happen at the Chinese Congress that would help you decipher what some of the country's future strategies could be?
Well, the first thing to keep in mind about China's political system and its political process is things at the top are quite murky for those of us on the outside. We know so very much about China except how its top leaders are actually chosen. We know that there's a lot of there's a long process to this, and that is the main function of this gathering, is to select the Politburo and especially the Standing Committee of the Politburo. So policy does come from these personnel choices. There'll be important signals. In addition, what we can anticipate is that the party will celebrate Xi Jinping's intellectual contributions to the development of Chinese communist theory, Chinese communist practice. And so that will be put forward as well. And so we should be looking at who is chosen and then what particular policy parameters are outlined. And so what we should be looking for are primarily things having to do with China's internal situation, and secondarily things that are going to have some impact on its relations with its near neighbors and with more distant ones like the United States.
And one of those near neighbors that people in the United States are concerned about is North Korea. What could we look for there?
Well, it's unlikely that they're going to issue any sort of declarative statement about North Korea specifically. What is significant is that the area of debate within China over North Korea has grown. And so this is quite significant. In the past, it was impossible for scholars or for political leaders to suggest that anything but support for North Korea and support for UN declarations regarding North Korea were Chinese policy. Now you have the first push, primarily by academics, but presumably with support among the leaders, to say that China needs to begin to plan for all sorts of contingencies, including military strife on the Korean Peninsula, including the possibility that the current North Korean government might not survive, that it might be replaced either internally or through conflict with South Korea. And so in the past, this was not possible for scholars to put forward this kind of thinking. But in recent weeks, there's been considerable debate over this among high-level, influential Chinese scholars, and their thinking likely reflects the thinking among some officials. It may not have become a consensus as yet, but definitely there's movement on that front.
This is obviously a multi-layered question with a multi-layered answer, I would suspect. Could you talk about how you view current relations between the U.S. and China? And when I say multi-layered, obviously there it could be trade, it could be other aspects of things, but do you see it in a standoff situation? Do you see it in a positive direction, negative direction?
Steve, you're absolutely right. The U.S.-China relationship is multidimensional, and it's always changing. And it's not possible to capture the state of the relationship in a single sentence. So, for example, on the trade front, we see all kinds of tensions. We see the United States pushing forward with investigations into Chinese dumping on metal productions and things like that. We see additional tensions over market access. In the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, we see considerable tension. Not that the United States has territorial claims, but that our allies and friends have territorial claims, and that for us, the most important thing is that peace and open sea lanes be maintained in those regions. But in some other areas, we see considerable cooperation. We see the United States and China cooperating in some areas regarding security. So this would be anti-piracy measures off the African coast. It might also include support for peacekeeping operations in various places in Africa. We also see cooperation between the state of California and some other areas in the United States with China on climate change.
Now, Clay, how powerful and how strong a foundation of power does Xi Jinping have at this point?
This is the most hotly debated question among China scholars. And there's no question that on the surface, Xi Jinping has virtually unprecedented authority in China, that in some respects, his control, his power is greater even than Chairman Mao or Deng Xiaoping. And most of us think that that represents a dramatic consolidation. There are those that suggest that this preoccupation with form, having him named the leader of all of these different leading groups, the economic leading group and things like that, having him have the title of Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, having the ceremony of all of the armed services pledging loyalty to him and to the Chinese Communist Party. There are people who believe that these are signs of weakness and that the anti-corruption campaign is a sign that the party's hold and his position atop the party is quite tenuous. I tend to think that it represents his tremendous authority, but there are those who disagree.
Clayton Duby is director of the U.S. China Institute at the University of Southern California.